chapter number 1, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. John chapter number 1. The Bible says in verse number 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." Take note of what verse 16 says. "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." I want to preach on the fullness, the filling, and the finding. The fullness, the filling, and the finding. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your love, Your mercy, Your grace, Your compassion to us. Lord, we thank You for the day that we met You, came into our lives, became our Savior. And thank You, Lord, that You didn't give up on us, but You continue to work on us. Lord, may we be vessels of honor. May we be used, Lord, in a great and mighty way in this world. May Christ be real, not only to us, but through us to others. Help me as I stand to preach today. I need Thee. I need Your help. I need Your guidance. I need Your wisdom and thoughts. Lord, may my mind be taken away from anything that would hinder, Lord, Your Word being preached with power and with unction. Fill me, Lord, with Thy Spirit. Touch that soul today that needs that special touch, especially that one that needs Christ as Savior. Pray for others that need to be encouraged and helped and strengthened. May we find all that we need today in Thee. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. If we could go back and take a survey of history from the time of Adam, those that lived down through the days of Malachi as we close out the Old Testament, we cross over and have those years where we really don't know what took place at 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Find the saints in the days of Christ, those in the days of the early church, times of great persecution, all the way down through history. And we brought ourselves up to this very day that we're living in. And we could take those people and we could put them in a crowded circle all around, and we could say, would you point to the one that means more to you than anyone else? The one that's the most important in all the world. I believe everyone would turn and point to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. For He is all and all, everything that we need. Everyone that has ever been born again, dear friends, knows the importance of knowing the Lord Jesus as Savior. And if we could go and look at the people that's been saved and their character and their lives and where they came from, we're going to find people from all walks of life. Some are going to be renowned for great things that they've done, maybe for courage. Others are going to be known for gentleness. Some for patience. Some for diligently laboring. There's going to be those that are wealthy and those that are poor. Those of different nations and those of different walks. There's going to be red and yellow and black and white. There are going to be those that have a name and those who are very little known. From all walks of life, the Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood on the cross of Calvary for a people such as you and me. I'll never be known the world over. At least I hope I'm not, because I know my preaching won't get me there. The only way I'd be known the world over is if I do something crazy. I'm a little bit crazy, but that's all right. It helps me to make it through life. But I look and I see people from all walks. People from every state and every city and every continent in the world. All of them inspired by a common faith, a common denominator, a common thing. And they all are looking to one place with a steadfast love toward one from whom they've received salvation. And that's what this verse says in verse number 16, "And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." And I want to use this verse, just to try to pull some things out of it today and to get what the Lord wants us to see of who Christ is and what Christ is. What He is to me and what He is to you. Who He is to be to everybody. So first of all, we look and we see the fullness. The fullness. And of His fullness. You see that? And of His fullness. It is His fullness, the fullness of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible, Paul says, in Him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is truly the God of all gods. He is the very God, the God that became man. And when you think about this, I want you to think about it this way. He is the fullness of God in personality. He is the fullness of God in personality. What do you mean? He has the fullness, first of all, of omnipotence. He's all-powerful. He is the all-powerful God, robed in flesh and came into this world, and all power is given unto Him as mediator in heaven and in earth. He's the omnipotent God. He has the fullness of the omnipresence. That ought to encourage us. The Bible teaches us in a dwelling like this, in a gathering like this, the Bible says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's a great thing. Everywhere today that there is a church meeting and they're meeting in His name, guess what? He's there. He's the omnipresent God. But I want to go one better than that. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Not only is He with us when we gather together, but when I walk out the door and I get in my car and I go to different places, and maybe I go to this place or I go to that place, guess what? There He is. Everywhere I go, He is the omnipresent God. He said, I will be with thee always. That means all along the way. Boy, when I'm doing the right thing, there He is. But when I'm not, there He is. I will never escape Him. He's the omnipresent God. He's the omnipotent God. He's the omnipresent God. And He is the omniscient God. He is the all-knowing God. You ever think this? You ever think, well, nobody knows what I've thought. Nobody knows what I've done. I've gotten by with it. He knows. He knows. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We talk about our God as being the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God. Well, Christ is God. And He's God that robed Himself in flesh. He is the fullness of God in personality. He is the fullness of God in omnipotence. The fullness of God in omnipresence. He's the fullness of God in omniscience. He is the fullness of God in justice. He is the express image of the Father's person, the brightness of His Father's glory. And the Bible says, His name shall be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. He is the person of God, robed in flesh. He is the fullness of God in personality. He is the fullness of God in prophecy. He is a prophet. He's the greatest prophet that's ever lived. Oh yes. By Him are all His people taught. And dear friends, they're taught the truth through Him. He's the one that said, if it were not so, I would have told you. Because He knows all things. And He's already everywhere. And He's the all-powerful God. It all works together. In other words, being omnipresent, you know what that means, Brother Chris? It means He's there already. I can trust Him for my tomorrow and for my next week, and my next month, and my next year, He's already there. And if I live my life by faith, dear friends, He knows what lies ahead. He's the fullness of God in prophecy. Now we have, if anybody would be a prophet today, they would not be a foreteller, they would be a forth teller. In other words, we're to tell what the Word of God has already said. If Christ were here today, He could tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. I can't, other than I know Jesus is coming again. I don't know when. He knows when. He is the fullness of God in prophecy. He's the one that enlightened his followers about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. He is the one that said that he was going away. And he is the one that said he's coming again. And just as sure as he rose again the third day, he is coming again. And when he comes again, he's coming in the clouds to gather his bride away. What a time that's going to be. He's the fullness of God in personality. He's the fullness of God in prophecy. And he's the fullness of God in priesthood. The Bible teaches us that he's the author and finisher of our faith, yes. But you remember what Jesus said on the cross? He said, "It is finished." And when he cried, "It is finished," on the cross, it meant his earthly work is done. Everything that Christ needed to do in order for men and women and boys and girls to be able to go to heaven was done. It was accomplished. His work was finished. When he finished his work here, he ascended back up to the Father. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And the Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for us, for those that have believed in him. He's easily touched, the Bible says, by our feelings, by our hurts, by our infirmities, by our needs. He is the fullness of God in priesthood. He is our great high priest. We believe in the priesthood of every believer. In other words, I can go to God for myself. But at the same time, I want you to know he is always going to the Lord, to God the Father on my behalf. That's what the fullness of Christ is all about. The fullness of him. The fullness of God in personality. The fullness of God in prophecy. The fullness of God in priesthood. And he is the fullness of God in perfection. He is the perfect God. Whatsoever there is that may be lovely or a good report is found in him. All that's virtuous, all that's good in the character of man, all that's noble, our Lord possesses it. As a prophet, his authority is unimpeachable. As a priest, he once offered a sacrifice of everlasting prevalence. It's good forever. That's perfection. He'll never mislead us, misguide us. He'll never leave us alone, but he'll take care of us all along the way. The fullness of him. John the Baptist said, "And of his fullness have all we received." We not only see the fullness here, we see the filling. We see his fullness of who he is, right? Do you get that, who he is? He is God robed in flesh. He is the fullness of God in personality. He is the fullness of God in prophecy. He is the fullness of God in the priesthood. He is the fullness of God in perfection. The Bible says, of his fullness have all we received. Everybody that's been born again have received his filling. We've been filled with him. That's the feeling that we're talking about. The feeling of Christ. I'm not talking about something you... Not that kind of feeling. I'm talking about being filled. And we have this feeling, all the saints of God throughout all the ages. We've already talked about those. If we were to go back to Adam, I want you to think about what it would be like. Adam at one time in his life was empty. Eve was empty. All the saints of God that have ever gone before us, they were empty. No matter how full you might feel like you are now, no matter how full you may believe that you are now, there was a time in your life where you were empty. Empty. All the great men of the Bible and all the great women of the Bible were once empty. Abraham was once empty. Noah was once empty. Moses was once empty. Isaac and Jacob were empty. Paul was empty. Peter was empty. All of them were empty. Ruth was empty. Esther was empty. Rahab was empty. Phoebe was empty. Lydia was empty. They were void. There was something that was not a part of their life. They were empty. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It matters not who you are, where you came from, what great thing your parents may have done, or how wicked they may have been. You're empty. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you're still empty. But He can fill that void. He can fill your emptiness. He can take care of it once and for all. And everyone that have come to Christ, empty of self, has received His filling. I've seen it many times. I've seen people who were wandering aimlessly through life, trying to find their way, looking to everything and every vice you could possibly imagine to fill that emptiness that was there. I've seen people that's turned to the bottle. I've seen people that's turned to drugs. I've seen people that's turned to life of ill repute. I've seen people live frivolously, spend their all. They think the more they have, the happier they'll be. And they try to fill their life with things. And the more they get, they still realize, I'm empty. The more they have, they begin to say, why doesn't this satisfy? And many of them will turn up the bottle and come to the bottom of the bottle and forget about life for a few hours. But when they come back to themselves, they'll begin to say, I'm still so empty. They'll pop a pill and forget about the cares of it all for just a little while, destroying their body, destroying themselves. And they're still empty. It's because the things of this world will never satisfy. There's only one that can satisfy, and His name is Jesus. And the Bible says, of His fullness have all we received. That we are those that have trusted Christ. We have realized that we were lost. We have realized that we were empty. We may have even looked to the bottle, but we found that the bottle didn't fill the void. We may have looked to drugs, but we found the drugs didn't fill the void. We may have even looked to some promiscuous lifestyle, but we found that didn't fill the void. We may have went out and used our credit cards and bought everything that we possibly could and had our house filled with plenty, but we said, we're still empty. But when we met Jesus, something happened. When our sins were washed away and we found out what it was we were looking for was there all along. We just had to trust Him by faith. We came to Jesus and He filled that emptiness. It's a great truth. The Bible says all the saints partake of it. Of His fullness have all we received. It matters not what reaction you may demonstrate. The all important thing is that you have received Christ. That you know Him. That you put your faith in Him. If you're here today without Christ, you're missing something. I was 18 when I trusted Christ as my Savior. I loved life. Went through my high school years. I loved my last 2 years of high school. I hated my first 2 years of high school. There was a reason for that. I just didn't care about going to school. So my grades were kind of low, you know. And then I decided there's something better than this. Started playing football again when I was at the end of my sophomore year. Played my junior and senior year, and there was a rule in my house. You don't make good grades, you don't play. Guess what? School became a little bit more important to me. Now all of a sudden my C's began to be B's and A's. I didn't know I could make an A, but I did, you know, it was great. I was good. The only thing I ever made A in was in phys ed. You know. I couldn't do that now. But anyway. Y'all laugh. I wasn't being funny. I mean, you know, He's with me. Amen. Amen. I went through my high school years. I was happy. I enjoyed life. I went to church. But there was something missing. I was always looking for that something. And by the way, I had a fear of mom and dad and a fear of God, though I wasn't saved. My fear of God was I knew that God would get me. Because I'd been taught that. My fear of mom and dad was a fear of disappointing them. I've never drank. I've never taken drugs. I've been with one woman in my life. And that's my wife. That's it. I'm not sitting up here to brag. I'm just saying, you thank God for parents that raise you right and a grandmother that prays for you and takes care of you. But August 26, 1985, I got tired of being empty. That night I called upon Jesus and He filled me up. And of His fullness have all we received. And the things that all my friends were looking to fill them, and they were always going back trying to get more and trying to get more, and they were never satisfied. In one night, in an instant, it was taken care of in my life. Now I still get worldly. I still want things. But I've never felt alone since that moment. Even when I have turned my back on the Lord, He has shown me that He's been there, because I've never enjoyed not being close to Him. Never have. When I'm not doing what He wants me to do, there's something in me that says, you're not right. Get it right. You know, if you're a Christian, you know that's the greatest thing in all the world. See, when you're growing up, you know what you do? You try to keep mom and dad from finding out. Right? Look, my wife and her brother did lots of things that their mom and dad's just now finding out about. They were rascals. And according to my wife, he was the worst. According to my wife. According to my wife now, not me, I didn't say that. But you try to do things to keep them from finding out, right? Why? Because you don't want to get caught. But when you're saved, you realize He knows everything. And when you think wrong, or you do wrong, or you don't do right, you know that you're caught. Why? Because He has filled you. And you know that He's always there. The fullness of God, the filling of His fullness have all we received. And then the finding. The Bible says, and grace for grace. Think about that. Grace for grace. The Word of God does not say, and of His fullness have we all purchased. It does not say, of His fullness have we all learned. It says, all we receive. We were empty of self, empty in self. But then when we received Him, we were filled. And our poverty was turned to riches. Our blindness was turned to sight. Our emptiness was turned to fullness. And our sinfulness was turned to virtue. Once we were empty, and now we were filled. And we find out that His grace is sufficient. That's the finding. That His grace is sufficient. I've known people that were at the end of life. They've given their life to ungodliness and to irreputable things and lasciviousness. And they've given their life to all kinds of wickedness. And I mean, I'm telling you, you would look at them and you would say, they're the lowest of the low. But when Christ came to them and they came to Christ, they did find something out that His grace is sufficient. I never drank. I never took drugs. I didn't live the promiscuous lifestyle, but I was headed to the same hell. I was on my way. I was headed down the same road. And had not the grace of God got me where I was, who knows how far I may have gone. But still yet, growing up in church, being taught the right things, I still had to have His grace. I couldn't go to heaven because Mama and Papa were going to heaven. because anybody else in my family was going to heaven. I had to go. The only way I can go to heaven is I have to have a personal relationship with Christ. And this is what I found. This is the finding, that His grace is sufficient. I was the best player of church you've ever seen. Sang in the choir Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I was a teenager, taught a little kids class on Wednesday night. We had something called Royal Ambassadors. Taught those kids first through third grade. My cousin and I, we taught those kids. I did the things that you ought to be doing. I mean, I'd go out on bus visitation. I'd go out on different things. I mean, I was involved. You know what I was trying to do? I was trying to replace God with activity. And I thought, I'm doing the right things here. I was. It were the right things. But it was empty. And His grace was sufficient. And when I called upon Him, He saved me. And He filled me. And I found His grace to be sufficient. And all of His fullness have all we received. And grace for grace. This grace is a grace that assures. I'm going to heaven. You can't stop me. Height can't stop me. Depth can't stop me. Principalities can't stop me. Powers can't stop me. Things past, things present, things future cannot stop me. Satan himself cannot stop me. And I want to say this, God cannot stop me, because He promised His grace was sufficient. It's not that God could not, but God would not stop me. Because I have a grace that assures. I have a grace that answers. His grace is sufficient. And He has the answer to every problem in my life. And I have a grace that abounds. Every day, His grace is new. Every day, His grace supplies. Every day, His grace will guide. Every day, His grace will take care of me. Because it's amazing, abundant, abounding, answering, assuring grace. God's grace. That's what the finding is. His grace is sufficient. There's a lot of people. We're living in a world where there's a lot less Christians than there are Christians. The gap's spreading. It's spreading greatly. And the world is in a great amount of turmoil. You want to know why? They're empty. They're looking for something. Some look to war. Some look to dictate. Some look to conquer. But if they would look to Christ, they'd find out everything they need is in Him. Guess what happened when I got saved? I conquered. I didn't conquer, but Christ conquered in me death, hell, and the grave. And I'm on the victory side today. I'm a winner. As the song says, I'm a winner either way. If I go or if I stay, for I still have my Jesus each passing day. It's good to be saved. The fullness, the feeling, and the finding. It's all in Christ. Do you know Him? If you know Him, are you living for Him? This is what you have. We have no excuse not to live for Christ if we know Him as our Savior. No excuse. Because He's with us. He said He'd provide for us. He'd take care of us. And He'd give us grace for grace. What a Savior. What a friend. What a mighty God is He. Let's bow our heads. Prepare to pray. If you're here today and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior.